This week on the K-League United podcast, we take a peek into the transfer window. Despite being just a little over a week into the new year, with a new season and new challenges lying ahead, K-League teams have already begun to get their transfer business underway. The K-League United editors take a look at each of the 12 K-League 1 teams to see which deals have already been made before assessing what areas of the team they may need to strengthen. All that and much more on this edition of the K-League United podcast. Hello, and Ashwin Mikhail, welcome to the very first all K-League themed K-League United podcast of 2019. I'm Paul Neat, your host for today, the Kim Jin Hyun of podcast hosts. And I'm joined by Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And Scott Whitelock.
Annyeong.
Scott's hair today is like the choke, you know.
It is.
I'm looking good, aren't I?
That's why I'm the Kim Jin Hyun of podcast hosts, and third choice.
I'll take Kim Sing Gil, you know.
Yeah. Gentlemen, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, how are you?
Happy New Year. I'm good, thank you.
Any New Year's resolutions that you've broken yet?
Well, I wanted to drink less beer, but that's already out the window.
All right, Matthew, anything?
The gym isn't going well.
All right, fair enough. I haven't made any because I always break them. There's no point in making them. If you can't break them if you don't make any. What about K-League-themed New Year's resolutions? Anything that you want to do or see or visit this year?
I mean, I always want to visit some new stadiums. I still think I've been living in Gyeonggi-do for a while, and there's still a couple of Gyeonggi-do stadiums I've still not made it to, which is, you know, criminal, really. But also, probably, I would like to get out to some other games as well. Like, you know, I think we were talking prior to this about a bit of an FA Cup run as well.
I would like to go to one of the first or second round FA Cup games at a university. Oh. How good would that be?
I would like to do the challenge where you kind of like, you start with a team, and then if they win, you follow the winning team, and then whoever wins the next round, you follow the winning. But the only problem is, like, if somebody draws Jeju, then you're
away.
Your Wednesday nights on a flight down to Sogwaipo. That's going
to
be...
Leave work early to get to the airport. Yeah. How about you, Scott?
I mainly want to go to Daegu's new stadium.
Yeah, that's on my list as well. Pohang's on my list, Daegu's new one. And Gwangju, before they leave, I haven't been there yet. And obviously, they are supposed to be going to the new 10,000-seater stadium for the start of next year. Mm-hmm. I want to go there and get that ticked off.
I'd say if you miss it, it's not that disastrous.
Yeah, fair.
It's a long way. It's in the middle track. Of nowhere. There will possibly be about 100 people there, depending on who you're watching.
It'll be Daejeon, so probably 101, including myself. But yeah, I think more stadiums, some more FA Cup action, and a bit of K3 actually as well.
Yeah,
I've been to a K3 game before it was the advanced basic kind of situation. I saw Rejongbu versus Seoul United, and it was in a beautiful stadium, actually. Nobody there, obviously, and Seoul United tonked them about 6-2. But I want to see one of the top teams, like
Pochon or somebody like that.
I think that would be
Pochon
quite good.
Always have some like quite high-quality players. Well, I mean, really, last year they had Hankyo One, fresh after winning, scoring the winner in the Champions League final, had to go and do 6 months civil service at Pochon.
Can you imagine that?
It was absolutely tore the league apart, from what I could gather from the stats page telling me anyway. But yeah.
Well, today we are looking at the transfer window. It hasn't been open that long, but there've been quite a flurry of transfer activity already, and so we will have a look at the major deals that have happened in K League 2 before moving on to K League 1 in more detail. We'll have a look at teams in three or four different categories: their early transfer business, what they need, where can they find it, and one realistic player that they could sign. So we will run through the K-League 1 table from last season, replacing Jeonnam Dragons with Songnam, obviously, who came up automatically, starting with Scott.
Yeah, so Songnam have started off quite strongly in their transfer dealings. They've brought in Im Song-gyeom and An Young-kyu, two defenders from Mokpo City and Gwangju, respectively. Cheo-baek and Lee Chang-young have come in from Seoul Island and Ulsan. And Kim Dong-hyun and Park Kwan-woo have come in from Pohang and Ansan. A really interesting transfer is they've signed Matthias Kurier from Kazakhstani League. He comes in from Kaiser, who are the champions in the Kazakhstani League. But it's also been quite disastrous. They've lost two players, two very key players, Yun-Yong Son and Yi Hak-min. Both their centre-backs have departed for Ulsan, and quite interestingly, Suwon FC taking a step down, even though he was one of the best defenders in the K2 last season. What they need, well, they obviously need to rebuild the defence now. The losses of Yun-Yong Son and Yi Hak-min could well prove to be catastrophic for Songnam. Losing Yun-Yong Son, who represented Korea at the 2018 World Cup, was devastating. But also losing Lee, who was in the top five of most defensive statistics in the K2 last year. They've got half their defence just ripped from them. They also need more cutting edge up front. Last year, Songnam only had 4 wins with a 2-0 goal more margin. And they failed to score in more than once in 10 of their 11 draws last year. If they have realistic ambitions of staying up, they really need to add a striker to their ranks. Where can they find it? Well, are Poundland selling anything? Like, Songnam are still under heavy spending restrictions after the local government decided to tighten the purse strings. And manager Nam Kiel might need to do some wheeling and dealing, Harry Redknapp style. The signing of An Young Kyu from Gwangju is an astute one, and the pickup of Matthias and Choyo Beck will add some guile and ingenuity to midfield. But Nam Kiel might need to continue to look at the K2 for some attacking talent. One realistic player they could bring in is from the K2, and he may have had a quiet season by his high standards last season, but Bucheon's William Pop could be the answer to Songnam's attacking problems. They'd need to open up a foreigner slot, and the Brazilian won't come cheaply. But if Songnam can hold on to their top tier status, then they need to think a little bit bigger than what they're currently doing.
You see, one thing that I'm unsure of, because we don't really know what the situation is Hwang Hee-jo, because he was on loan at Gamba Osaka.
It does sound like that he's going to be staying back out there.
You think?
Yeah.
He's doing well there, and obviously playing in J1 in a great city like Osaka, obviously it must be. You know, he's obviously living the dream. He's had such a great year, 2018, Asian Games and stuff. But the loan deal, as I understood it, for 2 years, was to get him off the wage bill at Songnam whilst they were in K2.
Yes.
However, he has probably performed better than they expected in Japan.
Yeah, he's the KFA Korean Player of the Year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I would be fighting tooth and nail to get him back somehow. I mean, he obviously loves the club. He's been back to Songnam on a few occasions. Clearly, there's a connection there between him and the club. If I was in charge at Songnam, I'd be doing whatever it took to get him back.
Yeah. I really don't think that's realistic at all. I think he'll be gone. He's in the J League Team of the Year. He's the KFA's Player of the Year, and he's probably got bigger ideas.
I think as well, the loan was also as an insurance policy, is if he had to do his military service, because obviously you're not allowed to do military service in the K League unless you spent 6 months at a K League club prior. So ideally he probably would have come back to Songnam, ended his loan, come back, done 6 months and then gone to the military, but he got that military exemption in the Asian Games, so there's no reason for him really to come back other than his love for the club.
Yeah,
fair enough. Moving on, it's FC Seoul, obviously finished 11th last season, quite to the sheer joy and delight of the two gentlemen that I'm sat here with. For me, it was I wanted to get the season done and dusted, and then they had to drag me back in with this relegation playoff. But they have had a little bit of business in so far. Ikramjan Alibayev, the Uzbek international attacking midfielder from Lokomotiv Tashkent, who comes with quite
the highlight reel from what I've seen.
Yeah, he's come with high praise from his former club. I spoke to someone who works for Lokomotiv, and he said that he should be a success in K-League. And if you read on our site, there's a profile about him. So he sounds like he could be the real deal. He is with the Uzbeki team at the moment in the AFC Cup, so who knows? Obviously, they have Osmar has come back from Cesare Osaka, and he will be like a new signing because of how bad they were at the back at times last year. No composure whatsoever. He will bring that. And he was made captain by Cheongsu in his previous spell at FC Seoul. And I'm having a second guess here that I think he will be doing again.
Mm.
I think he signed a new 3-year deal, probably will be made captain again. Ko Kwang Min has come back from his military service. And other than that, they brought in a couple of youngsters. Shin Jae-won, the son of Shin Tae-young, mm-hmm. former Korean national team manager, from Korea University, and Lee Sung-jae from Hongik University. So a bit slow in terms of actual incomings at senior level. Outgoings, though, quite a lot. Shin Jin-ho, Ulsan, Shin Kwan-hoon has gone to Gangwon. Kwak Tae-hee's left on a free to Gangnam. Shim Sang-min to Pohang. Kim Dong-woo is left on a free. Kim Sung-jun has gone to Ulsan. Lopez has left for J1 with Sapporo, and Yu Hyun, the goalkeeper, has also left on a free transfer. So what they need? Well, they need quite a lot. They need centre-halves. That is quite obvious, I think. And they need a striker who's going to get them 15 league goals. Now, they still have Evandro and Matic on the books. Both will be at Seoul next season. They both confirmed that on their social media. They both had lackluster seasons last year. I think they're both be the first to admit that. They are taking up valuable foreign spots, though, so they will need to hit the ground running in the early part of next season. Mm-hmm. If not, maybe they'll find themselves out the door in the summer. They need a winger as well. I think they need some supply. If they are going to get a striker, they need someone who can feed the ball in there. Where can they find it? Well, Unilock. Mm-hmm. Yokohama F. Marinos, he has been in J-League for a year. He left, I don't really know why. Perhaps he had a fallout with Hwang Sun-hong. He was the second leading assist maker in K1 in 2017. One realistic signing that they could bring in, someone like Mugosa or Uros Cheric would be the top of my list if I was in charge of FC Seoul. As I say, they've got their foreign player spots filled now. Shouldn't have to get rid of one of them. But I heard a rumour that Seoul were in for Uros Cheric. Now, that was on a Korean football forum, whether there's any truth to that or not, is pretty slim.
Sorry, mate, I've been on the website.
No, so. And he was pictured in Gangwon's latest sort of attire recently. So, yeah. But Mugosa, he'd have been the top of my list. Whether he comes to FC Seoul or not, possibly not. But yeah. FC Seoul, I think they're frustrating a lot of their fans with the lack of transfer activity. They got off to a great start with that Alibayev signing, mm-hmm. but since then it's slim pickings.
I wonder how much money GS are actually giving them, because, I mean, they did have to clear out a lot of the deadwood, but it may also be freeing up wage bill as well.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, because the latest interview with Choi Young-soo, he's kind of questioning where Seoul are going. He says that their target for next season would be top six, realistically. Yeah. They can't challenge for the title because they need investment and they're not getting it. Mm-hmm. And this year should be better than last year. Let's face it, it couldn't have got a lot worse. But they need their owners to put their hands in their pockets and actually bring back FC Seoul, mm-hmm. the team that a lot of people would expect them to be top six, top four, ACL. These kind of things are synonymous with FC Seoul, but at the moment, mm-hmm. that two-year gap between ACL football and then being talked about in the same breath as Jeonbuk, Suwon, Ulsan, Pohang, it's not anymore, is it?
I think the sad thing is that Seoul and Suwon are kind of in the same bracket at the
moment. Well, yeah. So yeah, that's FC Seoul. But next is Sangju Sangmu.
Yeah, I'll be taking these now. Early transfer business. Ins, zero. Outs, zero. It's non-existent. It's actually a little bit unusual for the Army side, because they actually announce normally in December time who's coming in. Obviously, as a military side, it's players who are going to start their 20-month service. So they're usually players around 27, 28 years old. You get the odd exception, but it's usually around that age. This is potentially due to Asan's conversion from a police side. They're still technically a police side, but they're getting no more money. They've got 14 players left on their books who are all leaving in August. And they're not a citizen club, so they're getting no money from the city. So they're hoping to become a citizen club at the end of the season. So this year, Asan are not taking any more recruits, and in doing so, they're actually doing local tryouts to try and fill out their team. So they're going from K2 champions to whoever they can find.
Well, I'm available. Hey. I'm free. If they want a left back who's old,
let's get doing the bleep test. No.
So that's kind of affected Sangju in kind of a positive way, really. I mean, should be in a positive way, because it means they've got a wider pool of players to select from.
I mean, you could argue as well that one wave has just all got military exemptions, so maybe they can't come. Blame Son Heung-min for that, ruining the K-League once more.
Oh, no, Son Heung-min, always.
But no, Son aside, Sangju, they should have some good pickings later, and they may even have an extra recruitment window in the summer. They did it last year. They got extra players in the summer. What they need, well, Shim Dong-un and Yoonbik Garam. Shim Dong-un being their top scorer, Yoonbik Garam being second top scorer and most assist maker. They're both due to end their stints halfway through this season, so they do need somebody to replace those goals. Where can they find it? Well, this is you have to go on the K-League page and just find out people's ages. Moon Son-min is due a military call-up, but maybe not yet, because Moon Son-min has recently said that he wanted to go on loan for 6 months to a bigger club than Incheon.
Yeah.
Disrespectfully, to be honest, in my opinion. But the fact he's suggesting that he wants to go on loan for 6 months suggests to me that his time is coming.
Yeah,
he could be in that summer transfer recruitment window for Sangju Sangmu. But at the moment, unfortunately, I can't give you an update on that because there hasn't been any announcements made. To wrap Sangju up,
yeah,
watch this space. If you've got a player that is, if your team has a player that's 27, 28 and not military exempt, expect a knock at the door soon from the army.
So up next we have Incheon United. Now, transfer business in, nil. Out, quite a lot actually. They have they had 13 free agents listed. Most notably Jung San, the goalkeeper, and Han Suk Jong, the guy who scored against FC Seoul in that 1-0 win towards the end of the last season. He's listed. they've not announced that he's signed a new contract yet. So he may stay, but it's getting to that point now where it's a bit too long. Maybe he is on his way out. They've also lost Kim Yong-hwan, his defender, gone to Pohang. Yu Sang-ho has gone to Seoul Eland. Go Sul-gi was on loan. He's returned to Thailand. Elias Aguila as well. His loan's finished. Where he's going next, we heard Jeonbuk. Then he heard that he'd signed for Jeju, but there's been no update on that, so we don't know. We do know he won't be at Incheon next season. And Jo Ju-young has finished his loan and returned to Gwangju. So they've lost, you know, the spine of their team from last year. What they need, well, a spine of a team, and they need possibly a whole new back four, to be honest, because Incheon's qualities were in their attack. Obviously, we all knew that. They leaked goals for fun at times. That 7-0 defeat away to Gangwon was embarrassing. And that kind of summed up their season, because they would have results like that, and then next week they'd go and win 3-1 at home or something to, you know, kind of make you think, well, why can't we do that every week? So they need defenders. They need experience as well, I think. There are players that are on free agents, like Kim Dong-woo, who's just left FC Seoul. Not announced to have signed anywhere yet. But if I was any K-League manager outside the top two or three, I'd be looking at him to come in and add some experience to that back four. Him is an example. I'd also look at the top end of K2 as well, because there are players like Park In-hyuk at Daejeon, Gunmon Sok has just gone to Suwon, as you know, had great seasons, and they would probably jump at the chance to play in the K-League 1. One player that they could sign realistically, now, Baum Johan.
Okay.
I spoke to him recently, actually, and he still wants a move to the K-League. He still wants that. And I think that is, that kind of shows you that if you have a manager in charge like Jorn Andersson, and you play at a stadium as nice as Incheon's, and you have a manager who's making all the right noises like Jorn Andersson is, you can still attract players. It doesn't, I think, no ACL doesn't really make a lot of difference to foreign players coming into the league.
Yeah,
they want to just get that foot in the door, I think, a lot of the time. So is he realistic? I mean, he was 6 months ago when he was begging for a move. Could they get him on at the end of this season, perhaps? There's also so many free agents that they've got. Kim Dong-yoon that I've just mentioned. Kwak Tae-hee is now gone, but players of his ilk. Hong Jong-nam. If Jung San, the goalkeeper, leaves, experienced goalkeeper, has been playing at Jeonbuk, not regularly last season, but he's been part of a winning squad.
Yeah, he's won the title.
Zhong Dawon as well. Kwak Kwang Son, who you know a lot about from Suwon. Yu Hyun, pretty good back to Incheon. I mean, there are players out there. If you haven't got the budget of the Old Sands, the Jeonbuks, then there are players out there. And yeah, Incheon, in my opinion, they just need to, first of all, get someone to replace Aguila, because obviously he's so important with the amount of assists that he brought to the team. But that back four he's looking at. All right, and up next is Gangwon FC, and Scott will talk us through them.
Yeah, well, they've had some interesting signings come in. Apologies for the pronunciation, but Nemanja Bilbia.
Nailed it.
Nice. Is a forward from Zrinjski Mostar.
Superb, that. Can you do it again?
Right. Anyway, he's a big man who was coming in.
Biblical sounding.
Who was coming in. Cho Jae-wan, a forward from Seoul United, has come in. And Shin Kwang-hoon has signed from FC Seoul. Going out, they've lost Lee Bom-young, who's gone to Jeonbuk Hyundai to be the backup goalkeeper there. And Park Jung-soo has left the club after his contract expired. What they need? Well, Gangwon were the top scorers outside of those teams that finished for the ACL slots last season. But most of those goals were scored by Juras Juric, another great pronunciation right there. There's still no official news on the big striker yet, but he looks like he's going to be on his way out. Someone's surely going to take him. That's my personal feeling. And the fact that they've now signed Nemanja Bilbia might actually signal that he is on his way out.
Perhaps rumoured to be a replacement, perhaps to keep him happy. I don't know.
Oh, well, maybe. Anyway, Jung Jo Guk had a pretty woeful season last year. He only scored 4 goals, and Gangwon should also be looking for an attack partner to complement their new signing if Juric does actually leave. Probably the major thing they need to do is completely overhaul the defence that conceded 60 goals in the league last year. They were the second worst defence in K1. They need a couple of centre backs, a full back, a holding midfielder, and they should be okay if they sign that much. Where can they find it? Well, if Songnam was shopping at Poundland, then Gangwon should be heading to Costco for some bulk buy-in. Luckily for Gangwon, they still have some spending power thanks to their sponsors, Haiwan, so they could have their pick of some quality K1 casts off. There's a number of affordable and interesting prospects at the bottom end of the K1 table, and Gangwon could have their pick of players from the likes of Incheon, Daegu, and, dare I say it, Paul, FC Seoul. One realistic player they could sign, well, you mentioned him before, he's a free agent now. Kwak Kwang Son's just departed Suwon and he's available on a free. He can be a bit rash at times, but he's the type of strong, committed leader that Gangwon desperately crave at the back. He won't break the bank, should at least go some way to shoring up the defence, and he'll allow Gangwon to be a bit more ambitious in the transfer market because he's obviously available on a free. His wages won't be astronomical. So yeah, they could go out and get someone like that.
There's rumour to get Shin Hwa-young as well, weren't they?
They were, and that'd be an amazing pickup for him.
Yeah.
I really rate Shin Hwa-young. I think he's a great goalkeeper.
I don't know what's happened there, why they've let him go, or why he decided to leave Suwon Blue Wings. But yeah, it's Gangwon, what you said there, how they scored all those goals but had the second worst defence in K1 kind of sums it all up, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've always, both seasons, even last season, I know they made the top six last year, but it never really clicked for them. Their defence is never that inspiring. Mm. And yeah, and it's always these, well, as you said, bulk buy-in. Every season they just have a new wave of players come in. And I think it's going to catch up with them eventually, this. I don't think you can continue this way of running a football club, just look at Seoul Eland, who do it on a regular basis. I just think they've done well. Right? Don't get me wrong, Juric was a fantastic signing. You know, maybe the players they brought in could be the same scouts who've found these talents as well. So, you know, they seem to know what they're doing attack-wise, but they need somebody to find some decent defenders.
It's probably a conversation for a later podcast, but they're one of my favourites to get relegated next season.
Well,
I think they could be in real, real trouble.
Yes, if they lose Juras Juric, then they might be in serious trouble, because if they lose his goals, the person who was basically giving their season some sort of meaning, they finish in the bottom half of the split. They shouldn't have finished eighth. Daegu's great form, all credit to them, ensure that they finished in the top of that bottom half of the split. But Gangwon, having said publicly about these high aspirations of finishing in the ACL places, and then finishing seventh is really poor. Now, obviously, they've been back in the K1 only just 2 years now. And this next season will be their third back in K1. But you're right, Matt. It might catch up with them soon. This bulk buying and a real lack of vision or clear plan. They just seem to sign players who are a name.
I think they tried to do it last season, didn't they? They tried to bring in a certain type of player last season, and they brought in a manager who was completely untested at professional level, but they had an idea of how they wanted to play, and it just went to pot, and they were left with nothing. And that's why I'm really concerned and worried about them. I think they're very lucky that FC Seoul were as bad as they were last season. Otherwise, Gangwon would have been the laughing stock of the K-League. For a team to come out and say they've got aspirations to challenge for the ACL and get into the ACL and then finish eighth is...
It's a bit naive, in my opinion.
Their ambition next season should just be consecutive wins, I think.
Well, keep a clean sheet will be a start. But so finishing the bottom half of K1 from last season will be Daegu FC and Matthew Binns.
Oh yeah, well, what a season they had last year with winning the FA Cup, and they now find themselves in the ACL, the Asian Champions League. Unbelievably.
Incredible.
And now you'd think that they'd be buying ready for that, but so far their early transfer business has not been as inspiring as you'd think. They've got Song Yun-in from Gimhae FC from the National League. He's a goalkeeper at Gangnam. He's a decent understudy. He'll provide competition in backup, especially if Cho Hyun-woo leaves. And they've brought in Park Young-hun as a free agent, but he was previously contracted to Busan and was on loan at Daegu in 2018. Featured quite regularly. I think not really signings, but the fact that they're staying, Edgar staying, and most importantly, Captain Cecina, as I often say altogether now, he is the K-League's David Silva. Thank you, listeners at home, for joining in on that.
My best mate of all.
Your best mate, just because you had one selfie.
One selfie more than you have, Matthew Binns.
Cecina, you doe-eyed flirt. anyway, out, well, potentially... Cho Hyun-woo, we don't know yet, because he's at the Asian Cup, and that might, you know, the Asian Cup, they're there till February, and European windows shut at the end of January, so you have to think as well, those players at the Asian Cup, they've got to do their business while they're on national duty.
Right.
You know? So he may actually stay, it might be whether he stays in the summertime when European clubs are at the, they're on their transfer window, or he goes to Japan.
He'll go to Japan.
Yeah. Most Korean keepers who get to a certain level often do. But yeah, Cho Hyun-woo, if he was to leave, it would be a massive loss. Not just for his influence, but also his ability to draw fans. And also his goalkeeper skills, they could be adequately replaced. Maybe not fully, but you know, losing that presence, that's what is hard to get back. What they need is just depth. Andre rarely rotated his squad in 2018, and they need a bit of experience as well. I was speaking to our Daegu columnist, Jung Muyol, and I asked him, what would you have at this moment? And he was like, we need a defender and attacker, really, at this moment in time. Just that extra bit of experience in Asia, in that Champions League, just to get them through. And also a defender who's a bit more mature, knows what they're doing. Daegu did concede a fair bit at the beginning of this season. Well, they were bottom from the World Cup. Their turnaround has actually been quite miraculous.
Superb.
Where they can find it, well... I've said free agents. I mean, I think Daegu could be a draw for some good talent, especially like some Southeast Asian clubs where they could... Well, it depends how many slots they've got free on their
foreign quota. Yeah.
But
no, you're right. They're a draw. A new stadium, a beautiful new stadium in the ACL, if that's not a big draw, then I don't know what is.
And they've got a foreign manager who likes to play attacking football. Right. They're a draw to someone. It depends on their budget, because they are a citizen club, but I'm sure they could find the cash somewhere. They've always managed to scout good players as well, except at the beginning of last season. But the second half, they managed to rectify that very, very quickly and effectively.
Let's face it, but a lot of the Brazilians that have done well in K-League have come from Daegu at some point.
But yeah, I would raid the free agency bins. Kim Dong-woo, FC Seoul, he's a centre-back. He spent time at Daegu last season as well.
He had the 2017 season, he went out on loan to Daegu. And I'm surprised that he didn't move there permanently, because he wasn't in the team for most of the first half of 2018 season. So if I was Andre, I'd be on the phone to him straight away.
Yeah, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do. They're yet to make a move, but I think when they do, they'd be able to get in some interesting talent. And also, they've got a good reserve team set up there. Their reserve team manager, Luis Manuel Hernandez, has done well to bring through young talent up into the first team, especially in that latter half of last season where they needed extra players due to some injury crises and got them up the league. So, just a bit of depth. The team is there. I think the team is going to be quite entertaining again, especially in Asia, because we saw the way they attacked Ulsan on, well, they approached Ulsan on the counter-attack in the FA Cup. It'd be great to see that against some of the teams they'll be playing.
Yeah. Edgar's also got ACL experience as well.
Yeah, he has, notably taking John Book apart in the first leg in the last of 16 last season. So there you go. Optimistic, but they haven't signed anybody yet. But they are a draw for a club. They've got more potential.
I have a question. If you're Andre, what do you do about the ACL? Do you take it seriously? Do you write it
off? I think you go for it because they don't know when they're going to be in it again.
You have to go for it, yeah.
Because the thing is, they could be... Well, this season, they've managed to resurrect themselves from last place midway through the season. Then take the same gamble. Go all out in the group stage. And if you go out in the groups, then just...
Pick it up then.
Just... The Daegu fans, they're on a wave. They've won their first trophy. They've won the FA Cup. Let them continue it. They're going to be at a brand new stadium. That stadium's going to be absolutely bouncing. Dead centre in Daegu. Really easy to get to.
I think we're going to have games that's actually sold out.
Mm.
I mean, I would just say enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
You know, they're going to be a fun team to watch, I think.
I think so too. I'm looking forward to them in the ACL and at their new stadium as well. So anyway, that was the top half of the K1 from last season. We'll have a short break and we're back. We'll run through the top six.
Looking to spend some downtime with friends and fellow gamers in Seoul? Drop by Retro Game Bar. Located in Hongdae near Sangsu Station Exit 1, RGB is a retro game-inspired bar where you can play any and all types of games. Test their bartender's drink mixing capabilities or watch a game cast of your choosing. For those with a competitive side, sign up for monthly tournaments including Tekken, Mario Kart and K-League United's FIFA 19 competitions. Follow RGB on Facebook for tournament info and details on other events throughout the month. Mention that you're a fan of K-League United to their hard-working bartenders when you stop by for a starter shot to kick off the evening. Game on!
Hello, welcome back. Paul Neat here, joined with Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And Scott Whitelock.
And Yong.
So we've just run through the bottom half of the K1 from last season with Songnam replacing Drunken Dragons. Now we will run through the top half of the table, and usually it's me that does Suwon Blue Wings, but we have no one better than Scott Whitelock. Suwon Blue Wings.
That's very nice, Paul.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a bit slow coming in so far. Only two notable transfers. Go Myung-suk, who Paul has assured me is a great centre-back.
I'm weeping. I'm gutted that he's left Daejeon.
He arrives in from Daejeon Citizen. And also Kim Da-sol has arrived from Suwon FC to replace Shin Hwa-young in the nets. Going out, a lot of old pros have left. Shin Hwa-young's obviously left. Kwak Kwang-sung, defender, has left at the end of his contract. And then midfielders Park Jong-un, Choni, Jo Ji-un have all also left at the end of their contracts. Park Yidong today, actually, at the time of recording, has signed for Gyeongnam FC, which was a bit of a strange one. Kim Jong-min, another striker, has also left at the end of his contract. And the club also announced that last week, Kim Eun-sun, club captain, had his contract cancelled because he'd been caught drink driving, which is becoming a bit of a theme in K-League, which is not something that we like to see.
No.
What they need, well, here we go. I haven't been to therapy in a while, so this will do. After having one of the worst seasons in recent history in the league in 2018, Suwon need to really reevaluate their entire squad. And I think the departure of a number of senior players hints that there's going to be a revolution underway at the club. Undoubtedly, they need at least a couple of new strikers to partner Dae-yeon, who also recently extended his contract at the club. The departure of Park Yidong, like I said, is really, really strange. He's gone to Gyeongnam. And the big target man seemed to bring the best out of Dae-an on the odd occasion they were actually paired together last season. Thank you, Seo Jung-won. Park's departure also means there's now only two recognised strikers in the squad at Suwon. One of them is Yoo Ju-an, who's only scored a handful of goals in his two seasons as a professional footballer. Suwon also need a bit more quality to their midfield. The signing of Elvis Saric in the summer transfer window was a good one, and Wagoninho is going to return from injury this season at some point. But Suwon desperately need a leader who can drive their midfield forward and take games by the scruff of the neck. Suwon also look really light in numbers at the back and could do with bringing at least one more centre-back in to complement new boy Koh Myung-sok. Where can they find it? Well, the issue is probably not so much where, but how. Suwon are a huge club, but the recent cost-cutting measures at the club will surely only greaten now that there's no ACL. Thank you, Seo Jung-won. Suwon won't be able to target big names, but they should be able to entice good young talent, as they already have from the K2. And that should probably be their target forward. Suwon already have a plethora of young talent in the ranks. 19-year-old John Se-jin was KFA's Young Player of the Year last season. And midfielder Kim Jun-hyung impressed Paolo Bento enough, earning himself a spot as a standby player for the Asian Cup, yet only played 5 games under Seo Jung-won last season. Thank you, Seo Jung-won. Those young talents...
So gracious, Scott.
Those young talents barely saw the pitch at all last year, and manager Im Seng should see this as an opportunity to free up some transfer funds and really plough them in and get them in the first team squad next season. One realistic player they could sign, well, the top of the shopping list should be a midfield general who can dictate play and force the issue on other teams. Is something they've not really had since 2014-2015. They really need someone in the centre of park who can dictate play. His price tag could possibly be a little bit too high for the Blue Wings, but Ulsan's Park Young-woo would fit nicely into central midfield against Elvis Saric.
Former FC Seoul midfield.
So we'd like that.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Bring him in. It probably drive us on a little bit more and get a bit more control in games. So that's what they need.
All right, that was Suwon Blue Wings with a lot of work to do, it seems. Up next is Jeju United, who also have a lot of work to do because so far they haven't signed anybody. They have a new coaching staff, though. They've had a bit of a clear out and brought in quite a few new coaches, including Il Young, who obviously was the caretaker manager for FC Seoul last year. He's a first-team coach there. Outgoings, well, there's not a lot of outgoings, really. They've had Jung Dae-won, that the fullback's been there for quite a while. He's left. Kim Sang-won as well, also a defender. He's left. But confirmed outgoings other than that has not been a lot. But they do need to strengthen. They struggled for a real out-and-out goal scorer last year. They had Marcelo Toscano a couple of years ago, and he gave them a real focal point. He gave them an outlet. He was a different kind of striker that caused K-League defences a lot of havoc. And let's face it, they finished second in that season.
Yeah,
and you know, you ask some of the players that we've interviewed, like Connor Chapman, he said that he was one of the toughest that he'd faced. Now, they need someone like that. Now, where do you find it? Well, that's a million-dollar question, isn't it? There's so many teams that need to find a striker, a focal point. Where do you find it?
Brazil.
Well, the thing is that last year they brought in Robertson, who was largely unimpressive. Thiago had a good end to the season.
Mm.
He found his rhythm, and I think he settled. It took a while for him to settle into K-League. But once he did, he looked quite dangerous. They need to be able to try and keep players like Wagner Cruz and find someone for him to play off, because they have got the remnants of a good team. They just need a bit of experience at the back, and they also need someone to replace Yi Chang-min, because he was involved in a traffic incident, let's say, and personally in the other car passed away, sadly. So we don't know what's going to happen with him. He's a very good player, very young player. Is also a key player that they might not have next year for non-footballing reasons.
I don't think he'll be playing next year.
So they need to replace him. Where they can find it, I don't know. Because the thing is, Jeju's foreign scouting in the last year hasn't been that great. All right, Thiago came good towards the end. Other than that, they need to find a system that they want to play, because they at times it didn't look like that they knew how to play. They were what their tactics were or what their intent was. And they just about finished in the top half. I know they had a good end to the season, but it was pretty much touch and go whether they were going to finish in the top half. Cho Sung-wan needs basically to prove that he's the man to take them forward, because JG United columnist Branko Bilan has questioned whether he should be there long term. He's obviously brought in a new backroom staff. Obviously, he's trying to make the right changes. Is it going to be enough for them to improve on last season? Because let's face it, they are in the ACL. They had two back-to-back seasons in the ACL, and now they're not. And you have to think that for them to get back to where they were, they need to have a very, very good 2019.
I'd like them to bring in some players so we can start seeing that tiki-taka football they were playing in 2017.
Tangerine Taka.
It was beautiful football in 2017. I mean, they picked Suwon to second place, so I hate them.
football they were playing. They beat Jeonbuk 4-0. They were dangerous in 2017, and to switch to how they've been in 2018, it's
quite ordinary at times and dull and drab and without any real
I mean, we complain about the lack of a title race, but if they had won that game in Jeonju, then the title race would have gone to the end of the season.
Right.
They were very close to, you know, glory. But anyway, they do need some changes, and hopefully Cho Sung-wan is doing the correct
things. This next season for him is huge. Up next, then, is Pohang Steelers, who finished in fourth. And they've been quite busy, actually, in the transfer window so far. They've got Jomin Gwang, a defender from Seoul Eland. Yoo Jun-soo, a midfielder from Buriram United in Thailand. Jang Yeol-hee, a midfielder who was in the Barcelona youth setup for a while. He's been in Greece after that. Shim Sang-min, a left-back from FC Seoul. Vladan, who we know from Suwon FC, has come back to K-League. He's back in Montenegro. And Kim Yong-wan, who has signed from Incheon United, a defender. So they've been very busy, as they were last year. They signed a lot of players last year as well.
Yeah.
A lot of those have left now, which kind of tells you that they signed a lot, hoping that some would be good. Some were good, obviously. Some not so much. What they need, a target man, a striker, a proper target man for someone for them to hold the ball up. Because they have, like, Lee Kun-ho, Kim Sung-dae, those kind of players who can run into the space in behind, play off someone like Aleo Gamalia, who they had last year, but it didn't quite work out for him or them. Someone that can pop up with 10, 15 league goals, or just someone who can bring others into play will be my, at the very top of my list for Pohang Steelers. Where can they find it? Well, that's what we're asking, isn't it? Where can they find a good striker? Is the difference between finishing seventh or eighth, or finishing second bottom? Like we said earlier with Gangwon, a good striker who can hold the ball up, who can score goals, was the reason why they didn't finish in the bottom two. Who could they sign? And this one is controversial, but Lee Jong-ho from Ulsan. He's rumoured to go out on loan to the J-League.
Yeah.
So that's probably already a done deal, perhaps. We don't know. But someone of his ilk, or the Wookiee. Now, the thing is, the Wookiee's highly paid, and he will not want to leave Jeonbuk. But the thing is, though, under this new manager, I can't foresee him playing as much as he did last season.
Nobody can afford him.
Nobody can afford him. The Wookiee, no. Kim Chinook. But if I were, you know, Pohang are an ambitious club. And if they want to get someone who can hold the ball up and perhaps give him, you know, play him week in, week out. Because the thing is, Kim Chinook for Ulsan was deadly. And he's shown that he can be lethal for Jeonbuk. But in that rotation with such a big squad that's got a lot of attacking players there, he doesn't get a run of games. Someone like Pohang that would make him their focal point might be a good way to go. But can they afford him? Probably not.
In theory, that's a great shout.
In theory, it's a good shout. In practice,
No,
he's not going to give up his wages.
No, he's
not. Paid player in K-League.
He's not going anywhere.
So it does say realistic, but not really. Right, into the top three, the ACL places.
Yeah.
Someone who's no stranger to the ACL is Matthew Binns, and you're going to talk about Ulsan Hyundai.
Yeah, I am. Ulsan Hyundai potentially winning the transfer window at present, because where we've struggled to give you some incomings for other teams, Ulsan, coming in, probably the headline act is Kim Bo-kyung, central midfielder. He's coming on loan from Kashiwa Reysol. He's been there for 18 months after leaving Jeonbuk Hyundai. And he's a very good signing to get in. Like, he's 29 years old. He's got the Premier League experience. He's got Champions League, Asian Champions League experience with Jeonbuk, winning it with Jeonbuk in that 2016 squad. Fantastic talent to have in that centre of the park there, and adds depth. Even though they've got good talent in that area of the pitch, they've got still got Mix Diskerud. Mix Diskerud, I believe, is contracted till the summer, going by a recent Guardian article I read about Man City stockpiling players. There's so many of these articles dotted around. But so it's adding depth to an area there. They've got Jumin Kyu in from Seoul Eland forward, and he's going to probably, you know, join Junior up front and replace the outbound Lee Jong-ho. Yun Yong-sun, from a centre-back from Songnam FC. Yun famously made the Korean World Cup squad and also featured against Germany, I believe.
He did. And his dad, I met him, he's an absolute gentleman.
Well, there we go.
Looks just like him as well.
Actually. Expect to see his dad in the stands this season in Ulsan. they've also recently signed Shin Jin-ho from FC Seoul. That's also quite a shoot by. I always like Shin Jin-ho.
Good pass of the ball.
Yeah. Again, adds depth into that. They've basically strengthened the spine of their team substantially.
Absolutely.
Out, they've had Kim Sung-jun go out to Gyeongnam. They've also had Lee Yong-jae go out to Gyeongnam, and that's a potentially good move for the player, according to our Ulsan columnist Dan Croydon. Anyway, Sergio Escudero has ended his loan and gone back to Kyoto Sanga. And Richard Vinbickler, the centre-back, has ended his contract. So that's possibly why Yun Yong-sun has come in at centre-back. Potentially out as well, Lee Jong-ho, as we've already mentioned. He's been linked with a move to the J-League for Viveran Nagasaki. It could be a good move as he recovers from that serious injury, to be honest.
I think that's what it is. Ulsan, obviously, they are in a season where they need to... They're obviously making a lot of noise in the transfer market. Yeah. They want a challenge.
Yeah.
But they can't afford to have somebody who's feeling his way back. Yeah. So they're going to send him out on loan, which is, I think, a smart move. Regain his fitness, confidence, and then I would hope see him come back to K-League.
Yeah, or, you know, with a view to selling and earn some money that they can reinvest elsewhere in the club. So what they need, well, they've kind of already found it in Jumin Kyu, which is a reliable scorer that can offer competition to Junior. You know, Junior obviously was third highest goal scorer, K-League best 11 last season, but having that extra bit of competition or that extra backup, especially last season where they struggled to manage multiple commitments in the ACL group stages, this adds to that. So that kind of, they've kind of already got what they needed. They also do need a centre back to replace Vinbickler. I don't know whether Yun Yong-sun is the answer. Where can they find it? Well, the AFC Asian Cup is on at the moment. I do believe their scouts should be looking at that. Rumoured in as well is Australian international defender Reece Williams, who's currently plying his trade at Saudi Arabian side Al-Qadisiya. This is a podcast of fantastic pronunciation. Please do not write in. Yes, so... And yeah, I think Ulsan are doing well. They've done their business early, which is great. You know, they've got... Because they've got their playoff earlier than everybody else's. They actually start action mid-February in the ACL, because they, after losing the FA Cup, they're going to have to go into the Champions League now through a playoff.
Yeah.
So getting that business done, getting their training camp started with their full squad, or what could possibly be the full squad, very smart moves by Ulsan made in this window.
Yeah. Well, top two. So the automatic qualification for the ACL, one of those teams was Gyeongnam FC and Scott.
Yeah, they've been a very busy team. Not Ulsan standards, but they've been busy. Coming in, they brought in defender Kim Jong-pil from Tokushima Vortis. They brought in, as Matt said, a couple of Ulsan midfielders. Kim Sung-jun and Lee Yong-jae have come in. As I mentioned earlier, from Busan I-Park, Ko Kyung Min's come in. He looks like a promising sign-in. And also today, Park Yedong signed from Suwon Blue Wings. Going out, they've lost substitute goalkeeper Lee Joon-hee. But very disappointingly, Che Yong-joon's joined champion Seongbuk. And it's not quite official, but it's been reported at the time of recording that Park Ji-soo will sign for Guangzhou Evergrande.
Paulinho was there as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He was on loan, I think. So he's...
Ah, so he's...
According to James Ed Rupp, our Gangnam columnist, Paulinho is also gone.
Okay. What they need? Well, just to hold on to the best players, basically. Cho Young-joon, who was in K-League's best 11 last year, has already departed. And it's looking like South Korean international Park Ji-soo is also going to be leaving. You have to think it's only a matter of time before a big money offer comes in for leading scorer and K-League MVP Markao. If Gyeongnam lose all three of those players, they're in real trouble. Their spine's essentially broken in half. They've brought players in already, but almost all of them arrive in Gyeongnam after having been second choice options at their parent clubs, their previous clubs. And you really got to doubt if they got the quality to drive Gyeongnam on this season. If Gyeongnam do lose their leading lights, they're desperately going to need to reinvest that money. Despite needing to focus on the ACL as well next year, my advice would probably be go for quality rather than quantity. Where can they find it? That's the magic answer that every K-League team, you've said it, everyone wants to know it. But fortunately for Gyeongnam, they've got an extremely good team of scouts, as we've seen from what they've brought in the past. If anybody can unearth a star, it's probably going to be them. They've already dipped into the Japanese transfer market, signing defender Kim Jong-pil, and they've been heavily linked with Yokohama FC's Bae Song-jin, and the Japanese market could probably be a lucrative one for them. Gyeongnam are in a real precarious position. I asked you the question earlier about Daegu, do they go for the ACL? I think Gyeongnam are in the same position right now. Do they focus on maintaining the K-League 1 status, or do they push on and aim to go better than they did last year? And that's probably going to be the outlook that will determine where they shop next. Do they go for bargains? Do they go for someone a little bit better who will drive them on? One realistic player they could sign, it's not realistic, but bear with me. If that eventual Markao signing does come off, Gyeongnam are going to have a lot of money to play around with. And in that dream scenario, it would be quite fitting if they could bring a former K-League MVP back and sign former Blue Wing striker Jonathan. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, I knew where he was going.
I could see it coming a mile off.
The Brazilian striker hasn't had the best of times in China and probably be available for Gyeongnam if they offer the right financial incentive. Jonathan's affinity with Korea should be a big selling point, and the Mercurial striker would almost certainly love to have another shot at the ACL. Even though I'll probably cry if he does put on a Gyeongnam shirt, it'd be a great coup for Gyeongnam and for the league itself.
Don't worry, Scott. If he wears a Gyeongnam shirt, he'll soon take it off again. But you know what? That's a good. It's an interesting shout, actually, because it will depend on the club's ambition. If they want to invest the reported $6 million for Markao, if that is a fee, if he is going, which he looks like he is, then if they want to invest at least some of that into a quality replacement, then Jonathan would be absolutely fantastic signing. Really.
I'd be very sad to see him line off somewhere
else. I'd be delighted to see him back.
Fantastic to see him in K-League again.
He wants to come back and all that, but this is the thing. This is the danger of going to China. You know, go over there and enjoy playing in the CSL. You play in the ACL, Champions League, if you're going to be in one of those top 3-4 teams. But if you're on this big money, it's easy to go there if you're good. Coming back is another matter. But speaking of Kim and Jay and company, is Lucky Beans with John Buck and Emojis.
So early transfer business for John Buck has been good, if not, you know, maybe not overwhelming. Che Yong-jun, as mentioned, has come in from Gyeongnam, central midfielder. Quite a good pickup. He was in the K-League Best 11 as well. Lee Bom-young has come in as goalkeeper from Gangwon FC. Whether he's going to be first choice or second choice remains to be seen, but I hope they stick with Song Bong-kun as the first choice. He's a good quality backup, at the very least. I hope that's where they'll be staying. Kim Min-hyuk, centre-back, Sagan Tosu. That's a real coup for John Buck. He's a real good player. He's been out of national team contention and things, but coming back to John Buck, where he is with other national team defenders, it's always a good move, I think. And, yeah, very, very astute signing there. staying as well, they've kept Edongook, who's coming for one more year. He'll be turning 40 next year to give Scott one more year of heartbreak. Adriano as well is staying, and Thiago staying as well, potentially because of the new manager that's come in, because Adriano and Thiago were definitely out of contention under the last couple of months with Che Kang-hee, out, not even on the substitute benches as well. So them staying, it could be good, could be, you know, we'll see what happens there. Thiago, he definitely needed a run in the team. Maybe the new manager will give him that. Rumoured, Na Sang-ho from Gwangju, which would be a great signing, though that has gone quiet. And he also could look overseas, given his military exemption. Well, there's none officially left, but Hong Jong-ho, the centre-back, his loan has ended. Nothing's been confirmed with John Book. They usually make a big announcement when a player goes, but his loan has ended, and I imagine he's too expensive to sign. Hong Jong-nam as well, he's up for free agency. He's the backup goalkeeper. He was up for free agency last January, but made a last-minute signing for one more year, but then was quickly dropped to backup after a few calamitous displays. I don't see him coming back, especially with Lee Bom-yong coming in. Potentially leaving as well, as you've mentioned, Kim Min-jae. Two Chinese clubs are currently after his signature, Beijing Guoan and Che Kang-hee's Tianjin Quanjian. Kim Chin-wook has also been name dropped by Che Kang-hee, but again, it's unlikely given his wages. Though if any club can afford it, it would be a club in the CSL. What they need? Well, they need an Asian player. In the K-League, it's a 3+1 rule. John Book have an exercise there, plus one being an Asian player last season. And by not using their Asian player quota, they're failing to improve their squad by not signing a player from beyond the domestic pool. Okay, in terms of position, it's a little bit difficult, I admit. But an attacker, an attack-minded player, or even another out-and-out winger to provide Lopez, Thiago and Han Kyo-won competition could be an ideal solution there. But again, it's not desperate that they have to do it, but surely there must be a player that they can sign from Southeast Asia or somewhere. They could use the marketing or even find a player better than what they've got. Where they can find it, again, I said it for Ulsan, I'll say it for John Book, the AFC Asian Cup offers a perfect scouting opportunity to better what they have. John Book are still a draw for a lot of clubs in the region, and they can often match the salary demands. So they should not have any hesitation about looking at the best players in this tournament and thinking, well, we can sign them and it makes our quota.
Absolutely.
Realistic player they could sign. Well, again, I think just keep your eyes on the tournament. The player I would have liked to have seen would have been Kunimoto from Gyeongnam. Yeah. But he has said that he's going to be staying put for now. So I don't see him in green anytime soon. But yeah, any player coming from the tournament and then John Book capitalising on the increased exposure of that player. Book Hyundai. I mean, the real issue for John Book is obviously the manager.
Yeah, incoming has been the whole new backroom staff, new manager. Well, not a whole backroom staff, but quite a lot of new coaches come in, new manager.
Mm-hmm.
It's what are your thoughts on the new manager?
I'm going to save that until the mailbag, because we have a question where we can really dig into that.
Speaking of which, we will be back after this short break, where we have some questions in the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email KLU at info@kleagueunited.com or tweet at @KLeagueUnited with any questions, comments or reactions. Or follow us on Facebook to ask directly during one of our live shows.
Hello, welcome back. Paul Neat here with Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And Scott Whitelock.
And Jan.
Again.
Going for the informal.
I know, yeah. I'm older than you, Scott. You should be speaking in the honorifics.
You're all my friends. I love you all.
Touché. So now we will look at the mailbag.
Mm.
Matthew Binns, what have we got in the mailbag?
Well, the first one is kind of one we've already teased. It's from our actual own Dan Croydon, our Ulsan columnist. He wants to know, is Ulsan's transfer business enough to challenge John Book?
We hope so. From a neutral perspective, you might not want that to happen.
No, I mean, I want teams to invest. As a neutral, I don't want John Book to lose the title, but I want other teams to invest. I'm tired of hearing people say, money buys you everything. Well, Yeah, it does, but it's also money being invested in the league. Any players John Book buy, it's money that goes to another K-League club if it's a Korean team, and that should get spread down. It's good to see another team do it. I think Ulsan have bought very well. I think they had a very good team at the end of last season. I don't know whether their signings will be enough to keep them, you know, stop them from dipping at the end of the season like they seem to traditionally do. Mm. I guess the main difference is the managers. Ulsan's manager, I've never been 100% convinced on Kim Do-hun. He has had a very good season last year. I think, though, in 2017, his job was saved by the FA Cup win. Mm. I didn't think he did very well in that season. Obviously, he's right to be at the helm this year as well, and the board are giving him everything he needs. John Book, on the other hand, have hired a manager who, well, it seems the board are more happier with the image than the manager that they've actually signed. Jose Murray he's been selected by John Book for his... Well, all the press are always going with the fact that he was the Mourinho's assistant manager. Carefully looking... Well, yeah, looking well, over...
What's funny is that...
His solo career.
Yeah, he was obviously his assistant to Mourinho, mm-hmm. but it took him how long in the press conference to name drop his best mate? Not very long, did it?
No.
So, well, yeah, I would share your concerns, I think, about him.
And he's also brought in the same coaching staff that he had at Barnsley as well. And fortunately for us today, we don't just have a Suwon Blue Wings columist at hand.
We have a Barnsley FC columnist right next to us.
I have asked Peter Hampshire when Jose Murray was appointed about what he thought of him, but Scott, what can we think to expect from Jose Murray?
I'm going to take a very, very deep breath, and I'm going to try and be as nice as possible.
It is a family-friendly podcast.
It's a massive step down from Che Kang-yu. Mm. Like, unbelievably huge step down. I mean, I watched Jose Mourinho make crazy decision after crazy decision after crazy decision and get my hometown club relegated. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jose.
I mean, it's not just respect to Barnsley FC, but the stature of John Book in Asia is obviously quite large. Do you think he'd be able to get away with those kind of decisions that he did at Barnsley? Playing people out of position, as you've talked about a lot, that kind of thing. Do you think he'll get away with that?
No, I think he tends to think of himself as an innovator, and I don't think that's going to change here. The reason why he doesn't stay in jobs too long, he stays in jobs for less than a year, less than a season, mm-hmm. is because of that reason. He makes mistakes, and he doesn't correct those mistakes. It's a massive step down from Che Kang-yu. I mean, I said it before when Jose Murray was announced as manager, John Book would win the league by a point. But now Ulsan are signing players, and Ulsan look good. And you might not want to admit it, Matt, but I think there is a title challenge next season coming.
Actually, you are quoted on Namu Wiki, but as saying that John Book going to get well again. I'm not sure it's going to be quite as that bad, but yeah, maybe we'll have a title challenge on our hands.
We might. I mean, the issue is, like, John Book were miles ahead of Ulsan. They're miles ahead of everyone, let's be honest. It's going to take a lot to you know, bring it together. Now, Ulsan are doing their part. They're trying to bring their team up, and John Book are doing their part by bringing their team down.
Thank you, Jose.
We don't know. I mean, I shouldn't judge before he's played, but it's telling when, like, all the news articles, they mention his actual managerial career within a paragraph. And they mention six countries that he's managed in. But yeah, as you said, he's not managed it anywhere for longer than a year. He's not won anything. His last two clubs, he's had a 20% win rate.
Yeah.
I
genuinely would say to every listener out there, don't be surprised if Kim Shin-ok is playing left wing instead of Lopez or Thiago. No, genuinely do not be that surprised if the first game of the season Kim Shin-ok is playing left wing.
Well, we do need a new... Well, I did say we need wingers for competition. What... to try and bring this back to Dan, though, it's going to be down to the two managers. I don't think either manager matches the squad level, but I think Kim Do-hun is probably a lot closer than Jose Murray. John Book actually haven't got rid of anyone. It is still a championship-winning squad, and they have strengthened. Nobody's left yet. Kim Min-jae might leave. depending what happens with China. But they haven't got rid of anyone. And I think the Jeonbuk board have been smart everywhere else. What they've done is they brought in kind of Jeonbuk-esque signings. And what I mean by that is young, military exempt.
Yeah.
Checks the two boxes.
Yeah.
And usually internationals or on that on the borderline of that. They've kept Yi Dong-guk for one more year, which will help with the transition. He's a big influence in that dressing room. They've kept Kim Sang-sik as assistant manager, which I think is probably the biggest telling sign. Kim Sang-sik was Che Kang-yi's choice to replace himself. And he couldn't because he hadn't quite finished his coaching badges to coach in Asia. He could have coached in the K-League, but in Asia they would have had to have somebody else in charge. What I would say is Jose Murray may, very, given his short-term history, may very well be taking over for Kim Sang-sik to eventually lead the way for Jeonbuk. But yeah, so to answer your question, Dan, yes, I think there's going to be a title challenge this year from Ulsan. Anyway, moving on to the next letter in the mailbag, we have a letter from Carson Newitt worrying about Yang Hanbin staying at FC Seoul. Do you think he'll be there this season?
I think he will. He is at the age where he would be looking to go military service. Mm. But what is quite telling, I think, is that Yu Hyun, who is the Seoul's other, well, one of three senior goalkeepers from last year, has left on a free transfer. They have Yu Sang-hoon, who obviously came back from Sangju midway through last year. He's back now. So they don't need another senior goalkeeper. So they've let him go. And I would think that would mean that Yang Hanbin is staying, yeah.
Okay, and just one more question, because we have gone a slightly bit over on time. we've got an email in from a Junte in Daejeon, and it's referring to your favourite, Hwang In-bom.
Hey.
Hwang In-bom is expected to leave Daejeon, but do you think the Asian Cup will prevent teams in Europe from signing him? And he also says this is the same for some of the other young players like Kim Min-hwan or Na Sang-ho.
It's a good question, because as you said earlier, the Asian Cup does look, you know, span into February when the European window would have closed. So teams will, if they are interested in people like Hwang In-bom, Na Sang-ho, Kim Min-hwan, they have to get their business done with the player in the UAE. Mm-hmm. They have to send their doctors or whatever, or organise medicals in Dubai or wherever it is. It might help teams like Daejeon to keep hold of Hwang In-bom and Gwangju as well with Na Sang-ho. Na Sang-ho is perhaps less known outside of Korea, but he's well known within the country.
He's so reported.
Teams like Jeonbuk may still sign him. I mean, he's obviously limped out of the current national team squad through injury, but that won't stop him from signing someone like Jeonbuk, for example. It might do, though. I mean, yeah, Junte's question is quite an interesting one. It could buy Daejeon another 6 months with him until the summer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that is it from us. So thank you for tuning in, and we are available from anywhere where you get your podcasts. If not, then please let us know. We are on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio. And also, if on Thursdays, we are on Football Nation Radio, 5 p.m. Sydney time, or 3 p.m. in Korea. So thank you for listening. And if you would like to leave us an iTunes review, now Ryan's away, so I'm going to start this now, okay? If you leave us a K-League themed review with a pun or two in there, we will read them out on the next podcast. It has to be a 5-star review, obviously. You know, you
can't. No, it doesn't have to be a 5-star.
It does.
We may take preference over the 5-star
reviews. Okay, let's do that. But yeah, please leave us a review, because we can get ourselves up that iTunes chart. But in the meantime, we'll bid you farewell. Thank you for listening.